Good evening to everybody. Following the census that takes place in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, the second census, in Sefer Bamidbar, hence the name of the Chumash Sefer HaPikudim, Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers of Counting. Parshas Pinchas deals with the second counting in the Sefer, and that is, of course, after the 24,000 Jews who were killed following the Chet of Baal Peor with the daughters of Moab and the daughters of Midian. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts and asks Moshe to count again B'nai Yisrael, and that takes up a good part of the first Seder, the first section of Parshas Pinchas. And immediately following the census, in Parshas Pinchas, we read of the Bnos Tzlofcha, and of course the daughters of Tzlofcha, the five daughters of Tzlofcha, come in front of Moshe and say that their father had died in the Midbar, and he left behind no sons. Lama yigarash im avinu mitoch mishpachto ki im obein. Why should our fathers not have a place, a name in the land of Israel? Tna lana achuzu sochache avinu. We, his daughter, should be able to take over property. We should also be able to have some estate in the land of Israel. Moshe, of course, miakrev Moshe es mishpatul mifnei Hashem. Moshe did not want to render a judgment on this halacha. Instead, passed on the buck and asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to pass on the shaila, and ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu returned to Moshe and told him that King Benos Tzlofcha Dobros, Noson Titim Lem Achuzas Nachla B'socha Chiyadim, the daughters of Tzlofcha indeed received real estate, received a portion, a chelek v'nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Following this parsha, the parsha of inheritance, we read a parsha of succession. And that parsha specifically talks about a Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe to climb on high, to the Har HaOvrim, to see Eretz Yisrael, that he will never enter Eretz Yisrael, of course, as a result of the Chet of Mei Meriva, as opposed to speaking to the rock, Moshe hit the rock. Ultimately, his punishment was not to enter Eretz Yisrael. And immediately after HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells this to Moshe, although he's been told this before, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to know who the next leader of Klal Yisrael is going to be. Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, V'asher Yavo Lifnehem. Who shall go out before them, that shall come in before the end. It's an impossibility to leave Bnei Yisrael like a flock without a shepherd. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, responds and tells Moshe, Kach lachas Yoshua ben Nun. It will be Yoshua, your student. Yoshua ben Nun, he will ultimately be your successor. Ish asher ruach bo, a man who has the spirit, who has a spirit of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and place your hand upon him, samachta as yadacha alav, and ultimately it's Yehoshua who takes the position of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the succession is complete. But of course, we always have to question, as the Rishonim, as Chazal do, what is the juxtaposition between the parasha of Benos Tzlofchad, the request of the daughters to receive an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, and the request of Moshe Rabbeinu as to appoint a successor. Indeed, the Medrash Rabbah here, and Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar Rabbah, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yudalet, explains the Smichas and says as follows, Kevan Sheyorshu Bnos Tzlofchad Avim, immediately upon Moshe seeing that the daughters of Tzlofchad received an inheritance, Amar Moshe, Moshe responded and said, Hachi Hasha She'etva Batzarchi, now is my time to stake my claim. They received their inheritance by asking and requesting something of Hashem. Says Moshe, I'm now also going to place in my request. Im habanos yorshos, bidinu shirshu banais klodi. If women, if the daughters of Tzlofchad are able to inherit a place in Eretz Yisrael, certainly, halachically speaking, my sons, Gershon Merari, should also receive my place in the leadership role. They should be the ones to inherit and to succeed me. Moshe wants, asks, requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his son or his sons, one of them, should receive an appointment that he had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Banecha yeshvu lehem v'lo asku b'Torah. Your son sat, but they didn't delve, they didn't engage in Torah study. Yehoshua, harbe sechorcha, v'harbe chalak l'chakavot. Yehoshua was appointed and served you, and he was misharis you, and he gave you tremendous amounts of kavod. V'hoil v'chein kedayu shishamesh Yisrael. Since Yehoshua was mishamesh you, Moshe, since Yehoshua took apprenticeship by you, and since he worked with you, and since he honored you, and he sat in your tent, lo mashmi pi ha'olel, he's the one who's appropriate to serve the Jewish people. From here, and the response of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which certainly explains the juxtaposition between the parsha of Benos Tzlacha and the parsha of the succession of Moshe Rabbeinu and the leadership who will receive that position, certainly you see from here that Yerusha, inheritance and succession, when it comes to leadership positions, when it comes to positions of authority, when it comes to positions in the Rabbanus, is not an automatic that it goes from father to son. Rather, it goes to the most appropriate person, Yehoshua. Yehoshua who apprenticed you, Yehoshua who respected you, who sat by you, who studied by you, who understood you, he is the appropriate leader and not your son, and then neither of your sons, not Gershom and not Merari. The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva, in Or HaChaim Siman Yud Beis, was asked by the rabbis, the Rabbanim, in the city of Munkach, regarding a particular machlokas that erupted in the city after the death of the Rav of the city of Munkach, in terms of who would receive the position. Would his son automatically receive the position, or would other appropriate candidates be looked at in order to take this position? The Chasam Sofer takes a very strong position. The Chasam Sofer says absolutely it's not an automatic that it goes to the son. And in the long tshuva, he brings proof after proof that certainly it's not an automatic that the Rabbanus is Birusha, that it's inherited, but rather it has to go to the most worthy candidate. And in the postscript, after he signs his name in the tshuva, he says, Raya Achrona Gedola Mikulam. I found the strongest proof to all of my proofs, and that's this medrash that we just quoted, the Ein Yerusha Leben Leshev Akisei Rabbanus. There's no automatic inheritance to a son from his father when it comes to the Rabbanus, when it comes to the position in the rabbi. That is the position, indeed, of the Chasam Sofer. However, the Pesach of the Chasam Sofer, indeed, is a Chiddush, because if you take a look at earlier sources, they do not seem to paskin this way. And indeed, from a Rambam, from a Gra, from the Ramban, Shulchan Aruch, and from a Sifri, as well as from the Gemara, and the Masech Suvis, it seems very clear, indeed, that the positions of leadership, positions of authority, and all go from father to son. The Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Parak Aleph Halacha Zayin, that when it comes to a king, the king's son automatically receives the Yerusha. That's of the father, and it goes to the prince. That's the rule, that the king's son receives the appointment. Kishima'amidin ha'melech moshkin also b'shemen ha'mishpah, shenemar v'ikach shmuel estach ha'shemen v'itzak arosh ha'vishkeu. And indeed, the Rambam concludes, na'achar shemoshkin ha'melech ha'rei zezoch elo ulevanav la'olam shehamalchos Yerushalem. That when it comes to Malchus, when it comes to kingship, it's an automatic inheritance from father to son, like the Pasuk says, "L'man yarech yamim amlamachto, who uvan of bekeri sovi," and his son in the midst of Israel. The Rambam doesn't stop there. And he says, "V'lo hamalchus sovad," not only does the inheritance of father to son apply to kingship, "ela kol asraros," all positions of authority, "v'chol haminuyim shebi Yisrael," in all positions of appointment, go from father to son, Yerusha lebno leben beno, ad olam, with a caveat and a contingency, v'ushia ben memalei makom avosa b'chach mavira, so long as the son follows in the path of his father in wisdom and in his fear of Hashem. And that is the position of the Rambam, not only when it comes to Malchus, but indeed when it comes to other positions of leadership, Srara, and other positions of authority. The Ramah paskins explicitly, like the Sheet of the Rambam in Yoredeya, Simin Reish Mem Hei, Sifchav Beis, the Ramah writes, Afilu ben, b'no, u'b'no, la'olam kodmin la'acherin, kozman shememalim makam avoseyem, b'yira v'him chachamim tzas, the Ramah cites explicitly and verbatim the position of the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, and indeed the Vilna Gaon as well, in his commentary on the Gra, on the Ramah in Oslam and Ches, posits as well that this is an explicit Rambam. Furthermore, the Gra also notes, as does the Kesef Mishnah, as does the Hagos Maimonios, that this is explicit in the Sifri. The Sifri says that if you have Shehu Uvana, Shemes Ome Beno Tachta, that the son receives the position of his father in all particular situations, and that is the explicit Psak. In Cain, if that's the case, that the Rambam, the Ramah, the Gemara and Ksuvis, and other Rishonim and Achronim, including the Gra, posit that the positions of leadership, positions of authority go from father to son, how do we understand the Chassam Sofer? Chassam Sofer explains, of course, he's aware of the Rambam, and certainly he's aware of the Psak of the Ramah, that he only said his statement that Yerusha does not go from father to son when it comes to the position of Rabbanah. When it comes to a rabbinical position, there the Chassam Sofer says that it's not an automatic, but rather when it comes to Torah, he quotes the Avos Rabbi Nathan, the Torah munachas pekeren zavis v'chol arot zelito yavo v'yito. Torah is placed in the corner. Anybody wants to grab it could come and grab it. Torah is not given by Yerusha. It's not an automatic. That, says the Chassam Sofer, is true. The Rambam, the Ramah, the Gemara, and the Sifri, we're all talking about positions of Srara, authoritative positions. When it comes to authoritative positions, there it goes by Yerusha. There it's an automatic. But when it comes to the Rabbanus, when it comes to the Rabbin, there, because it's a minui of Kedusha, it's a holy endeavor, it's a holy position, says the Chassam Sofer, that it does not apply. Indeed, a proof to the position of the Chassam Sofer, that positions of authority and positions of srara, of leadership positions, they go from father to son, can be seen from the explicit Ramah quoting the Tshuvas HaRashba in Orachayim Simen Nun Gimel Tif Chafei. The Rashba was asked, and the Ramah passes like this, Shliach Tzibur Shehizkin, a Shliach Tzibur, one who davens from the Amid, Shehizkin, who is aging, and wants to appoint his son to continue and to take other situations where he will lead the davening. Even though his son's voice is not as beautiful, is not as pleasing to the congregation as the father's voice, says the Ramah, based on the Tshuvas HaRashba Siman Shun, if he fulfills and lives up to his father's position in other areas and in other appointments, the son takes the position of his father and nobody can be mocha. So indeed, the Chassam Sofer and the Ramah, as the Tshuvas HaRashba writes, and when it comes to all positions of Srara, like the Rambam says explicitly, and like the Ramah Paskin, and like the Sifri says, Srara and positions of authority automatically go from father to son. The Chassam Sofer says, when it comes to Rabbanus, when it comes to the rabbinate, that's an exception to the rule. When it comes to a Torah position, kol harot yitol yavav yitol, anybody wants to take the Torah can come and take the Torah, and therefore it doesn't go be Yerusha. The difficulty with the conclusion of the Chassam Sofer is indeed, if you look in the Rambam and if you look in the Ramah, they seem to be talking about the Rabbanus also. Where does the Chassam Sofer see in the Rambam? Where does the Chassam Sofer see in the Ramah that they're talking about situations of only Srara, but not when it comes to Rabbanus? Seemingly, the Rambam, the Chassam Sofer, the Rambam, and the Ramah are also talking about situations of Srara and Rabbanus, and there shouldn't be any distinction between this category. Furthermore, the Achronim asked other questions on the opinion of the Chassam Sofer. If you look in the Seichemet Chelek Ches, Mareches Chazaka B'mitzvot Simen Zayin Os Reish, he collects a variety of sources on the topic of Yerusha B'Rabbanus, and he asks another question on the Chassam Sofer, and another question, and another question. The first question that he raises, how does the Chassam Sofer bring a proof from a Medrash to make a halachic point? Rarely do you see halachic authority, the likes of the Chassam Sofer, bringing a proof from a Medrash. It's true the Medrash says that Yoshua received the appointment and not his sons, Gershon Merari. But why do you use a proof from a Medrash to prove a halachic point that the Rabbanus does not go be Yerusha? Furthermore, maybe the case of Moshe and Yeshua is different. Moshe was leading the Jewish people into Israel. Moshe was going to be the leader of whole Klal Yisrael. That required somebody unique. That required somebody specific. It can't be just automatic. You need a stronger leader and a specific leader and an appointed leader. So don't bring a proof from this Medrash that for all other cases of Rabbanus, that automatically it doesn't go to the son. Furthermore, the Stechemet points out that Yeshua throughout his life was being Ma'azer and Meshamesh, and he was serving and apprenticing his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. And in such a case where there's a student who's been apprenticing his Rebbe for a significant amount of time prior to his death, those cases, it's true, there's no Yerusha Labanim, it's not an automatic. So Chassam Sofer again, you can't prove from this Medrash and from this case that Moshe did not have his children take over. because there it's unique, there it's different, because of the fact that Yeshua was already being Mesharis and was already being Meshamish and was already apprenticing his Rebbe. Finally, Moshe also required the appropriate leadership, required the appropriate person to take his place. But what you see from the Medrash very clearly is the reason that his sons didn't receive the appointment is because Shelo Lamdu Torah. They didn't study Torah. Says the Sechemet, if they would have been Torah scholars, if they would have been learning, seemingly they would have received the position. And asks the Sechemet, this Medrash proves just the opposite of the Chassam Sofer. When the Chassam Sofer tries to prove from this Medrash, then you see that Yeshua didn't receive the appointment of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Chassam Sofer, pum fakir, it's just the opposite. The only reason that Yeshua didn't receive the appointment was simply because the sons of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't learn Torah. Were they to have learned Torah, maybe indeed they would have received the appointment. Interestingly enough, not only does the Chassam Sofer have a Tshuva in Arachayim, Chelek Aleph, Chelek Din, Siman Yud Beis, for the rabbis of Munkach, but the next Tshuva, Siman Yud Gimel, is a second Tshuva, a follow-up Tshuva, not to the city of Munkach, but rather to the city of Nicholsburg. There, the great Rav of Mordechai Banet passed away, and again, a Machlokas was brewing in the city. Would the son of the Rav, Mordechai Banet's son, take the position of his father, or were others who were also vying for the position take the position of Mordechai Banet? This question was again sent to the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer says that he supports the son of Mordechai Banet taking the position of his father. And he writes, Chazarti v'yanti bazet. I reviewed and I researched and I delved into this topic a second time. L'kayim divrei haramah, to uphold the ruling of the Ramah. Of course, the Ramah ruled that the Rabbanus is Yerusha, and explains the Chassam Sofer as follows, that there's a difference not between the type of individual that we're dealing with, and not between the Rabbanus versus Srara, but rather in earlier times of Chazal and in earlier times of the Bible, as opposed to the times of Hungary and Nicholsburg and the times that we're living in today. Says the Chassam Sofer, the Nasi HaTorah Bizman Chazal Hayakin Minui de Kedusha, the appointment of Yeshua and any biblical leader and any melech was what's referred to as a Minui Kedusha. It was in a holy appointment. And there, when it's a holy appointment, it's not Birusha. Such an appointment as the likes of Yeshua and a king, they have a spiritual aspect to them, and therefore those can't go Birusha, it has to go to the right person. Achshav says the Chassam Sofer, in our days, contemporarily, the Rav is Meshubad L'Kahol. He's an employee of the congregation, Lasus Tzorcheim, to take care of their needs, and the needs of the shul, and the needs of the city. Bischar, he's receiving revenue, and he's receiving funds, and he's financed by the shul. V'lo gara mishliach tzibur, and today, contemporarily, the position of the Rav is no different than the appointment of the Shliach Tzibur, vis-a-vis the fact that he's Meshubah to the Kohol. And therefore, since he's Meshubah to the Kohol, it's a Sherus, it's a job, it's a requirement where services and fees are being paid. And just like the Rashba Paskins, and then the Rama Paskins like the Rashba, that appointments of Srara, appointments where there's a duty upon the individual to take care of the congregation, it's not a Minui de Kedusha, but rather it's a position of a Sherus, and in those positions it automatically goes to the son. So it seems to be that Chassam Sofer in his first tshuva takes the position that it's not an automatic and it doesn't go to the son, there's no automatic Yerusha, but he explains that contemporarily in a second tshuva and a follow-up tshuva that indeed it does go to the son, and the reason for that is that the Rabbanus is different today. Interestingly enough, the son of the Chassam Sofer, B'Ksav Sofer, in his tshuvas in Yerodeh Simen Kof Chof Gimel, says that the conclusion of his father was like the latter tshuva, that indeed the Rabbanus goes to the son, and he's familiar with numerous cases where his father paskin like that in other cities as well, in Hungary, where indeed the Chassam Sofer posits that it does go to the son of the Rav. How do we paskin? We paskin like the first position of the Chassam Sofer, like the second position of the Chassam Sofer. Do we paskin like the Ramah? Do we paskin like the Rambam? Do we paskin like the Gra? How do we posit? Is the Rabbanus Birusha or is the Rabbanus not Birusha? This complicated question is addressed by the Mishnah Berurah, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch and Siman and Gimel, Sif Chafei, where the Ramah addresses the question of the Shliach Tzibur and says, the Mishnah Berurah as follows. Siskatan Pei Gimel. Yesh Omrim, Dibichacham Hamamuna Laharpitz Torah, a scholar, a rabbi who is entrusted to lead the congregation by teaching them Torah, or Ladun, or to adjudicate cases. Lo Amrinam Shibneim Kodim. We do not say that the son takes precedence. Yesh Chokim. There are others who argue. And the Mishnah Berurah does not cite the conclusive opinion, cites both opinions, seems to cite the position of the Chasam Sofer in the first tshuva, seems to pass like the position of the Chasam Sofer in the second tshuva. He quotes the Magen Avraham, based upon a tshuva of the Maharsh Dam and a tshuva of the Asar Mamaros of the Ramam Mipano, paskins that it is not Birusha. The Ramam saw paskins that it is Birusha. So from the Mishnah Berurah, you don't get a clear position as to whether or not the rabbinate passes on Birusha or not. Contemporarily, you see a variety of different positions among the poskim. Two of the great poskim in Eretz Yisrael, of the current generation, the previous generation, of Shevet HaLevi, Rav Osner, in his Tshuvas, as well as Rav Nissen Karelitz in his Sefer Chutshani on Maseches Shan, Hilchos Shabbos Chelek Dalet Amud Tav Beis, both posit that the Hora Nechona, that the appropriate psak indeed is that the Ben is Yoresh B'minyan Shel Torah. Rav Osner in his tshuva recognizes that there are differences of opinion regarding this, and there are different ways to look at the shaila contemporarily, bizman hazeh, versus earlier times. Is it a minui kedusha? Is it a sheirus? And nonetheless, the Shevet HaLevi paskins in his tshuvas, chelek dalet simin kof chof ches, that the right and appropriate torah, the right and appropriate psak, is that it should go to the son. Interestingly enough, another great rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Sturmbach, in his tshuvas in chelek beis, Simon Tuf Shin Yotes, takes a different approach. And he says that the Rabbanah today is different. Today the rabbi has a contract. Today the rabbi has a board. Today there are committees. The position of the rabbi today cannot be an automatically assumed to go to the son, because there are other factors to take into account, including a contract, including committees, including boards. And as a result, Moshe Sturmbach paskins that it's not Birusha automatically. Furthermore, like the Chasam Sofer, he also notes that the rabbi has other responsibilities, and it's not automatic that the son will be able to pick up on those. He needs to know how to teach. He needs to know how to deal with a variety of communal issues. He needs to know how to deal with a variety of issues in the shul, out of the shul, how to be Makari, Rechokim, and Rachik, Krovim. It's a complicated job. And therefore, the Chuvas van Hagos of Sturmbach says that it does not go automatically. He does note that there are many times where a shul does not take the son, but there are many times that the shul does take the son, and there's times when the shul takes the son and everybody's concerned and doesn't think it could work, and certainly there's siyata d'shmaya that the son was able to do a wonderful job. The contemporary Tshuva Sefer, the Shelas Aaron, Rabbi Felder Zichron of Racha, Philadelphia, in Chelek Beis Simin Gimel, writes that absolutely as well does not go Birusha, and as a result, it has to go to the most appropriate candidate, again, for similar stars, including contracts and boards, and the way systems work today. So certainly, there are many split approaches to this question. Fascinating tshuva, the tshuva of the Gina of Nadir, in Klal Gimel, Ozvav and Ozayin tell the story about the Rabbanus in Tzfas, which was a very prestigious position, and the Rav of the city of Tzfas passed away, and the only son he had was a youngster who was under the age of Bar Mitzvah, and there was a very strong interest in taking the great Rav Moshe Alshich to become the Rav of the city. Rav Shlomo Halkovitz, the author of the Chagodi, was vehemently opposed to appointing the great Rav Moshe Alshich as Rav, and he said, we have to wait for this youngster to become Bar Mitzvah. When he comes Bar Mitzvah, he will be the Rav of the city of Tzfas. And indeed, Rav Shlomo Halkovitz's position carried the day, and ultimately the son of the rabbi, once he achieved the age of Bar Mitzvah, he took over the position of his father in the city of Tzfat. So we do see different approaches to this question. Of course, it's a thorny question, it's a difficult question, questions that have to be posed to great leaders. Even the Chasam Sofer himself notes that in his first tshuva, when one would even attempt to think that's an automatic when it comes to important and giant and large positions, especially positions like the chief rabbi, the Rav of the city, where other rabbis speak to that rabbi for questions, etc., that it must be that rabbi takes the day and is the strongest Rav, the greatest Talmid Chacham, and in those positions automatically does not go to their son unless he indeed is the greatest Talmid Chacham in the city. There are many factors to take into account, many issues to take into account. Of course, we do see from the Chasach Sofer in the first Shul, we do see from the Medrash in our Parsha, the fact that Moshe's sons did not receive the minu, the appointment of their father, certainly speaks to the fact that there's no automatic Yerusha when it comes to the sons, and that's the Chasam Sofer's first point, although he takes an about-face and recognizes that maybe there's a distinction between Yamim Ahim contemporarily versus earlier dates. He uses that svara to assume that today there should be a Yerusha, while other posts can use the same lumdus and the same svara to say just the opposite, that today things are different, and certainly there should not be Yerusha at all. Everything has to be taken into account, and many issues have to be taken into account, many aspects of the appropriateness of the son, many aspects of the appropriateness of other candidates. Of course, this question and many shayla should be brought to the attention of leading halakhic authorities to decide and to consider. Mir Tashem, we should see Shalom Al Yisrael. Good evening.